हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 39, Chapter 15, Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti. Narada Muni to King Chinabarhi. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. So, the activity itself is not what we're calling the material activity. It's the consciousness that this activity is being done so that the results of it can be used materially. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yes.
So this misconception.
Yes.
That usually we want to give up the activities.
Yes.
Changing the consciousness coming from?
It's coming from jnana. Like, it means, in other words, you have two, in the material world, you have two choices, karma or jnana. So that's what you're choosing between. If you try to give up the karma on the material platform, we're used to doing it by jnana. So we've gone through this process of karma, jnana, and then, you know, back and forth. So it's just a matter of the idea is that if I don't want the results of the activity for myself, I don't do the activity. And if I want the results of the activity for myself, I do the activity. So this idea that I perform the activity to get the results, but not for myself, but for Krishna, that's new. We've never done that before. Right? So we know how to do karma or jnana. That's why if you're doing karma and I say jnana, it makes sense. Or jnana, and I say karma, it makes sense. If you say anything in karma or jnana, you know, in either the activity itself or, you know, that detachment, it makes sense. But to perform an activity of attachment with detachment, that we haven't done before. That's new. Is that, you know, yeah, because it's just, because on the material platform, why would you do that? So when it's saying giving up material activities and ritualistic performances, it's the idea is that I'm performing the activity, it'll give a result, and that material result, I want that for myself. I give that up. I perform whatever activities are to please the Lord. So it's not called material activity, it's called bhakti. The activity may be the same, but it's not called a material activity anymore. And ritualistic performance is thinking that's the ritual itself that makes it work, the ritual itself that is giving the results. Rather than it's performing something to please the Lord, that's what makes it work. Right? Because on the material platform, the more exact it is, the more things work out. You know, you're doing following a recipe, the more exact it is, the better it works out. You don't follow, you know, you're not so careful about it, then the results are not so careful. You know? Is that, yeah. Yes.
All right, so this is the level of Sarva Dharma for the joint action.
Yes. Yes. I mean, yes. So it's always being mentioned. It's just because it's already been mentioned at the end of Gita, so that means from that point on, it's all talking on that level. But it may not be emphasized as much, because then we have to learn how to practice that. So we see at 11th canto, that's all it's talking about. It's being shown by the residents of Vrindavan and that, but analytically it's being discussed in the 11th canto. So it's the same Gita topic. It's just one topic. It's just the level that the Gita is being discussed. So the first level is the Bhagavad Gita, as we know, to Arjuna. Then the second level will be Kapila Dev to his mother. Then the third level will be Krishna to Uddhava. But it's the same knowledge. Like that. So, yeah. The Prachetas to Sri Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-33. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life, in different bodily forms, and on different planets. So the point is, as we saw before, is that it's mentioning that association of devotees is the most powerful and most important element of devotional service. Because by that association, we become inspired to serve the Lord. Right? And that association with devotees, that's what pleases the Lord. That's what catches his attention. So that then he gives his causeless mercy. Right? Because the cause is not because we've done the work. It's because he wants to. That's why it's causeless. Right? It means we make our endeavor and follow the process nicely and sincerely, then it's his choice that in that situation he reciprocates by giving his mercy. So it's not caused because we did the work. It's caused by his desire to give bhakti, and he gives it to those who approach him through bhakti. So it's his choice. That's why it's causeless. It's not that, well, because I have such great sadhana, that's why I got the mercy. No, it's because you please the Lord. Him being pleased, he gives his mercy. Right? So he gives this, how he can be pleased, and then we follow it, it works. Because that same is what he uses. Right? Because he himself, if it's just about being satisfied, he himself is self-satisfied. Right? Everything's in perfect balance. Right? But to increase the pleasure, then he is expanding his energies. Right? So that interaction with the energies, the qualities used in that interaction, that's the qualities that are expected in bhakti. Right? He's saying you surrender to him, because only if you surrender to him, then can he surrender back. Otherwise, what's the point of him coming forward and we don't? Right? Yes.
We understand that Krishna is self-satisfied. He doesn't need pleasure from anyone else to feel pleasure. But when we say we need to please Krishna,
yes,
it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit.
It's for our benefit, yes. Because the point is then he'll reciprocate on that. If we're trying to please him, then he tries to please us. But it's not based on that we're doing that. That's what causes him to do it. It's not a reciprocation on that level. It's that he wants to interact with his energies. But the point is that reciprocation between that's what causes where rasa is tasted, right? In that interaction. So it's just a matter of the qualities that he will use in the relationship are the qualities we have to have. Otherwise, how does it work? You know, it has to match.
Otherwise, he's never pleased.
No. But the point is we won't be pleased either. That's so right. That's the point, is his pleasure means our pleasure.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's, you know, always willing to interact. We're the ones that have turned our attention away. So, yeah. So it's just... And so they're asking for this at all times, all places, all circumstances. Not just for right now, but basically eternally. Because that association of devotees, that's what's always going on. So those devotees are always serving Krishna, because if they're serving Krishna, then everything goes very nicely. Right? And so we want to take part in that service. Right? Because they're always doing it. Rishabh Dev, but the point is they'll do that in the spiritual world, but they'll also do that here. It's the same principle. You're dealing with Krishna, because Krishna, it's all Krishna. So therefore, the same principle of serving him is happening here, that's happening there. It's not that we do one thing here and another thing there. It's devotional service here, it's devotional service there. Rishabdev to his son, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.3. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Right? So if they're doing, like, they're householders, but they're seeing that in connection with Krishna. Whatever they're doing, maintaining themselves, dealing with the family, doing their occupations, they see it all in relation to Krishna. So that's the whole point, is that we try to appreciate that and we have that determination. We have that determination and Krishna will reveal. Then we'll appreciate how that works. So the scriptures explain it, but the point is your understanding it's going to come when you have that interest. Right? You know, it's like, how you say, explaining something to an 11-year-old. Right? You can talk all day, and then after you finish talking, and then they'll go, huh? You know, that's just the way it works. It's just, they don't want to know, so it doesn't matter.
It's better younger people?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that you have to speak absurd things. That catches their attention. Regular words that you always say, they don't listen to. You give really wild examples and, you know, absurd contexts and all that, and it's kind of like, what's going on here? Okay, this guy's more crazy than me. You know, you've got to respect them. You know? So, yeah, that's just how it works. Jarabhar to King Rahugana. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12, 12 and 13. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of household life, leaving home as vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Right? So that one is taking the instructions of the great devotees and applying them to all aspects of the body. Right? So that means all the limbs of the body, everything is engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So that surrender, that acceptance of the transcendental instruction, that's what makes it work. These other things, it says simply by, means they won't, following the Varnashram, doing all the other aspects of religion, they won't give you Krishna. But if they're done to please Krishna, then you'll get Krishna. But how do we do all those activities to please Krishna unless it's by having heard the instructions and following those instructions? Yes.
So we can say is that we all got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and through his followers we got Diksha. So we got it all, basically.
Yeah, you got it all. Now you can retire and move to the Bahamas, right?
No, we retire. We move to Mayapur.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's even better.
However, sometimes...
More dust, right? More dust.
More,
yeah.
More dust.
Yeah, so smear yourself, entire body with the dust, right? You know, on the streets of New York, not so much dust. You know? Well, it probably depends where you are, but yeah.
But then, somehow, we still feel, at times, disconnected. So, why is that happening?
You're not taking advantage of the dust. Uh, Because we're not contemplating and applying it into what we're doing. So in other words, we may be performing the duties here, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, but we're not necessarily thinking of how it connects to Krishna. Because it's an indirect activity. Varnashram is a material activity. It's, you could say, the best of them. Right. You know, it's in the mode of goodness. So that, studying Shastra, you know, all these different things, these are the best activities that you can do. That's why they're recommended. But they become transcendental when they're connected to Krishna. Like you study Shastra, but if you're studying just to become a scholar, it's still material. But when you're studying so that you appreciate and understand Krishna and how to apply it in your life, that's where it becomes spiritual. So that's the aspect that we're trying to appreciate. So
yeah. So now this depends on our consciousness.
On our consciousness,
and,
yes.
Can we say that sometimes we say, in order to get bhakti, we try to do activity. We are on the way to bhakti. Means
means doing the activities to please Krishna. That's bhakti.
Yes.
Right? In other words, activities that bring us to prema, that are progressive, bring us to prema, we call that bhakti.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Because they bring you to prema.
So can we...
So that I do the activity, let's say one is living the life of a householder, right? So you're performing those activities. So that itself is a religious aspect. But you're doing that to please Krishna. That part, the trying to please Krishna, that's the bhakti. That's what makes it progressive. So if you just perform the activities of the Varnashram without trying to please bhakti, please Krishna, then you may become very good at it and get all kinds of nice material facility from that, but you won't get Krishna. Because so it's not progressive towards prema, so it's not called bhakti. It's religion. It's dharma. You know, it's morality, but it's not counted as bhakti. So when that same activity is done to please Krishna, that's when it's defined as bhakti. So that's generally the mistake where it comes in, is as Mataji pointed out, is that we're so used to this concept of karma jnana, you know, the mundane consciousness, that I'm performing the activity, so if I'm not interested in the activity, I give up the activity. But the point is, if it's our duty, we perform the activity and the results for Krishna. So that's how it works.
And how can we chant this consciousness?
By association. Association. By associating with, that's why it says, to associate with the great devotees. So that's what we always try to do, is put ourselves in a position where we're with those that we consider, you know, find that sincerity is inspiring. So we always try to associate with them. If you have that, then all the other things will come. The association of devotees gives rise to all the other aspects of bhakti. So if you have the association of devotees, you'll engage in the 9 processes of devotion. But without the association, you won't. Right, because you can't hear about transcendental subject matter from a materialist. So it all starts with the devotees.
But inside the devotees, can we say it is better to have association with awakened devotees?
With
the devotee who are more conscious.
More conscious. So, yeah, well, that's what we mean. Is you're more conscious, and that consciousness is applied to Krishna. They're just more conscious, and they're not applying to Krishna, then that's not as important. Because then they'll be conscious of, generally, if it's not applied to Krishna, of everything that's wrong. Unless they're just that really rare, really nice guy. You know, but, you know, if you think back in your life, you know, how many of those do you meet? Like, I remember one. You know, like that. I've seen someone else. They walk in a particular way. They just are nice, pleasant, but aren't really dealing with the world, but kind of are there. But they're not spiritualists. Yes. It's just that just by karma, just nice people. Yes. Like that. At least the guys that know, there's a particular way they walk. So. You know, so I remember seeing one that I spent time with, but I remember seeing the walk in someone else. And I asked, you know, do you know that guy? And they said yes, and I asked like that, and it was. You know what I'm saying? So it's rare. So most people, if they're conscious and therefore able to observe and analyze, they'll be critical of everything. That's the point. So they won't be able to see it in connection to Krishna. They just see what's wrong with it. That's why we were discussing this morning. To have that analytical area but not use it to find the essence, which is bhakti, then, you know, it's how will it help you advance? Because sometimes it's thought, if I can find fault in others, I must be better. That just means you're analytical and thoughtful, but doesn't mean it's better, because you're criticizing, they're not. So who's actually, as a person, better? Does that make sense? So it's only if, in finding a fault, then you can show what is the appropriate thing to do. And therefore the fault's only fault is that it's not connected to Krishna. Right? That's the actual fault. But if we think that the mechanics that are weak, that being the fault, and it's perfect mechanics that makes it bhakti, then one still won't understand. Because one will still overemphasize the mechanics. But when it's about bhakti, then it's just immediate, no, don't do that, do it like this. You know, but if you always point out what's wrong, then that's all people learn, is what's wrong. So. Okay. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons this idea, and it gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. Right, so they don't discuss something that's not connected to Krishna. Because when it's not connected, then you call it politics and sociology. Is that, like the stories of the Mahabharata, in the first canto. You say there's a lot of politics and sociology there. But it's not about that, it's transcendental. But when you remove the devotional element, that's when it becomes politics and social. Does that make sense? So if you're engaged in the Lord's service, it's called bhakti. You remove the bhakti part, then the senses being engaged with the sense objects is not called bhakti anymore. It's called sense gratification. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening, is that when it's seen in connection to Krishna, it's devotional service. When it's not, that's material. That has to be how you see the difference. Because we'll always take it as a difference in action. And it may be a difference in action if we're coming from a background or lifestyle that has nothing to do with the Vedic kind of version. Then we may see there's a very great change in our lifestyle, in our food, in our dress, and you know, like even when we get up. You know, it's like before Krishna consciousness, then we might find we were going to bed when the devotees get up. You know, it's like you're at the party till 2, and then you have to go home, and then you have to do this and that around the house, and you go to bed at 4. They're getting up at 4. So it seems that I'm changing everything I do. But no, it's just you're getting up and going to bed. But you're just doing it before you were doing it favorable for you, what you called sense gratification. Now you're doing it for what's favorable to serving Krishna. Is that right? Yeah, but let's say you have the farmer. He was not doing that. He was also getting up at that time. He goes to bed because he lives out in the country. It gets dark. So when it's dark, he goes to bed. And then early morning, he gets up because you want to be first thing as soon as light hits out in the fields. But he's still doing it just for himself. You know, so it's just a matter of what's so one is favorable for farming, one is favorable for partying in the city. Right? But the point is so it's a matter of you go to bed and get up when that's favorable to Krishna. That's the principle. We take it too much. No, it's going to bed at this time, getting up. That's the real thing. No, it's about doing it to please Krishna. So getting up in the Brahma Muhurta, then that's the best, whatever you do at that time, that's what you're most focused on. Right? So if you're sleeping at that time, mode of ignorance becomes your most, you become best at the mode of ignorance. Like that. So it's whatever you want to become good at, you do it at that time. So for devotees, bhakti is understood to be the highest thing to do. They do bhakti at that time. So that way things don't change. It's just a matter you adjust for what's favorable for Krishna consciousness. Right? We don't change that we become a devotee, we stop eating. No, it's we adjust that we take prasad. We offer it to Krishna. And then offering to Krishna, then Krishna likes certain things. That's what we offer. Things he doesn't like, we don't offer. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't offer your, you know, old shoes to Krishna. Right? The dog loves to chew on them, but Krishna doesn't. Right? He doesn't even like new shoes to chew on. Right? You know. The dog will chew on those also. You know. So it's just a matter of what Krishna likes, that's what we offer him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yamaraj to his ordinary, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narad, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. Right? They say principle, right? About devotion. It means all the other branches of knowledge. They know to various degrees, but all of them. Brahma knows, Narada knows, Lord Shiva knows, Kumaras know, Kapila knows. Yeah, Swayambhuva deals with all that. Prahlad Maharaj, yeah, they know all that also. But what they know is they know religion, but they know the real religious principle, which is devotion to Krishna. Right? That's what makes them Mahajanas. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just that they're big guys that are Mahajanas like that.
But Maharaj, you know, it seems that it is when I was reading before that this verse, you know, is especially connected with Sambandha, which is a knowledge relationship.
No, but that means the real religious principle. That's what's favorable for performing bhakti. Is what makes the activity you're performing bhakti is being done to please Krishna. So in other words, when the activity, the abhideya, you know, or the chit shakti, then is being done with the intention of pleasing Krishna or Haladini, that combination is called bhakti. Yes. The bhakti shakti is the combination of chit and ananda.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Then, that being there, then the samdini potency reveals the knowledge about Krishna. So in other words, sambandhi jnana happens because you're applying bhakti. Does that make sense? So you understand the relationship if the activities you're performing are being done to please Krishna. Then the relationship with Krishna, that starts to become clear. That being clear, then your application of the activity to please Krishna also becomes more focused. So then you have more realization. So they both keep... Yeah. Maharaj Parikshit, because all the different things, sambandha abhideya and prayojana, is you have a relationship, process, and result. It's not that in process you're not applying the knowledge and skills of relationship. Right? It's not something separate. And it's not that in performing the activity you don't know about the result, or in having the knowledge you don't know about the result. It's just that depending what you're doing, that's what it's called. So I have knowledge about the abhideya and I have knowledge about the prayojana. That's still called sambandha jnana. But when I'm applying it, that's called abhideya. And the resultant experience, that's the prayojana. It's a connection with Krishna. Is that something? Because the physical situation or the different things that is there, that I perform the mechanical activity. The mechanical activity gave a mechanical result. That's not actually the prayojana. That's why he says he's the goal of all goals. That you have that goal and then you get that, but it's to please Krishna. So even getting that mechanical result is to please Krishna. Right? So pleasing Krishna, that remains in that position. So that, therefore, the love for Krishna increases. But the mechanical result you got, once getting it, it shifts back to Sambandha. Because the point is I have knowledge. The physical situation, the objects within that situation, that's there. Applying that, using that in activities gets a result. Having that result, it's added to the field. Does that make sense?
Like a wheel.
Yeah, that just keeps going. Because otherwise, if it go there and then that's it, now what do you do with this knowledge? You can't use it. It's already there. It's stuck. It comes back again. So in other words, when it comes back, now again, it's knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Let's say the person is living in a, take the typical Asian thing. You know, there were four other friends in some little dinky cheapo apartment in some funny part of town. And they all go out, get their good jobs, and make lots of money and all that. So why is he making the money? So he can get his own house. So his goal is to get the house, right? But he's doing that to please Krishna. Okay? So because he's doing it in connection with Krishna, that's why the devotional element is there. But that endeavor will get him a house. But now the house is no longer in Prayojana. He has the house, so it's part of Sambandha. Now it's him in the house. Now how to reuse that for Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? So it just keeps going around. But the devotion just keeps developing. That's why the bhakti keeps moving. But the aspects of religion and that, they just keep going around. So now when you're going around, if it's about Krishna, you're actually moving out of that cycle. You're moving, going back to Godhead. Right? But if you're going in that cycle, applying the religion, you know, with the knowledge, relationship, process, and result, but it's just about that, enjoying that, that's called samsara. But that same cycle being done to please Krishna, that's called bhakti. But the point is that those activities that we're doing, that we're not changing, those are defined by Krishna in the Shastra, the Acharyas, you know, Guru, like this. This is where it's defined. Not that, it's not about that, then I can make up whatever I want. No. It's what do they say to do? Because we're always looking for that thing that I'm independent, I do whatever I want for myself. Now, it could be for myself that I want to please others, but I'm the guy who pleases others. Right? Yeah, so we're still the center. But we may be able to extend that center to include others. You know, because if it's just pleasing ourselves, that has a certain taste to it. But if we can please others, then how much more important we are. You know what I'm saying? So it's a higher level of consciousness because ultimately it's about pleasing Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
When it mentions that all these things are religious principles, so it basically means that the knowledge is self-realized for them.
The knowledge is self-realized when they know real religious principles. Yes, because that self-realized means they understand the position of their relationship with Krishna and devotion and the nature of devotion and the nature of Krishna. So you're seeing all those things. But the point is it's not just that Yamaraj is speaking this. Now he's the one that is known as Dharmaraj. But he's talking about the real religious principle, which is bhakti. See, is that Dharma, then the Yamadut is understood. Right? But they didn't know the real Dharma or Sad Dharma. Because they were just going by Dharma. Ajamil is doing all nonsense. He's a rat bag. When he dies, we take him, bring him to, Yamaraj. But Yamaraj is pointing out, no, but he was chanting the Lord's name. Therefore, he's saying, okay, he's chanting the Lord's name. That's nice. That's a good piety. But why only then? He got in a couple of names. You know, if he'd been chanting, chanting his whole life, okay, they might consider it a pious activity. But it's just the end of life he's chanting. So how does this few names at the end of life, or even one name, how does that adjust a whole lifetime of sinfulness. That's how they're seeing it. Because they're taking it, religion is the topmost principle. So they don't know that bhakti is the topmost principle of all religion. So if bhakti is performed, that's actually what religion is formed. So you perform bhakti, so you take that moment. You don't look at the past. You look at the past, that's ignorance. That means it's just like them. They didn't know. So if someone can't move forward in something, that generally means that there's passionate ignorance there. That's what's holding them back. Otherwise, the knowledge, then you know if you're doing the right thing. Right? Someone's a criminal. Then he stops being criminal and starts doing things right. That's what you look at, because that's what's having the effect. Not look at the past, oh, he was like this. Yeah, but then you can say, why stop here? In your last lifetime, you were this. You go back before, you were an armadillo, you know, like that. And we don't want an armadillo on our couch, you know, so, you know, you don't sit down. Right? Well, you could probably use him for soccer or something like that, you know. Yes.
Maharaj, if bhakti is an attempt to please Krishna, how was that bhakti? Because Ajandeva's attempt was to call his son.
The point is he's calling the name of his son, right? And the name of his son is Narayana. Where's that idea of naming his son Narayana come from? Right? From Narad Muni. So he's heard the holy name from the pure devotee. So he's chanting. Right? So in other words, what we're supposed to gain from this whole pastime is the essence of religion is association of devotees and always being absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to gain. All this other stuff is an illusion. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then if we can't accept this, then how do we accept that when we take up devotional service, we're not worried about what someone was doing before that? It's the same principle. Yes.
So, really, it's impossible to de-spiritualize the process then.
To de-spiritualize.
Like they say that Kanishkas, they can, you know, de-spiritualize prasadam by perceiving it as food. And, you know,
no, you can't, because it's Krishna. How do you de-Krishna Krishna?
You
can have lower consciousness, so you may not get as much benefit. But the point is if you take prasad, right, and you give it to a dog, what does the dog, go, you know, sits down there, and you first see them sit down there and goes, you know? It's just food for them. You know, they eat that, they chew your leg off. It doesn't matter to them. You understand? See, we're putting so much on the ritual itself, even though it may be more pious than before, right? Before taking up Krishna consciousness, there's a good chance, unless one was from some kind of a smart Hindu background, that much of activities isn't based anything, you know, on what's appropriate activity, right? So, as we become aware of what's appropriate activity, we have to switch. The point is material consciousness means it's about the external. Spiritual means it's about the consciousness. So to support the consciousness, we perform external activities that are supportive of pure, shuddha-sattva, right? Pure goodness. So the activities of goodness are the form that is used. But what makes the difference between goodness and pure goodness? Goodness means it's the correct thing to do. Pure goodness means it's being done for Krishna. That's the only difference. That's why we recommend good activities in goodness. The principle is you're taking Krishna's energy and connecting it to Him. That's the actual principle. So since we're connecting it to Him, you know, it means... So you could take anything, but then you're working on the platform of Brahman, because Brahman is everything, and connecting it to Krishna. And so you start to advance. But you get to a point where I'm choosing something because of its connection to Krishna as a person. So Krishna likes these things this way. That's why I do it in that way. But in the beginning, we take it that this is the way the ritual should be done. It's the ritual that makes things work. right? You go to church on Sunday, you're a good boy, then everything should work out, right? You know, how you say the father gets the raise, you know, things go nice for the mother, the kids pass their exams, everything goes fine. Right? You didn't go to church that Sunday, and something went wrong, it's because we didn't go to church. God's not actually part of this thing. It means he's there, of course he is, but it's about what I did. So in other words, we're trying to focus it on I'm the doer, I'm the controller. So therefore you have this nice spiritual prashad, and then this new bhakta, because of his control, he's able to turn it into not prashad. Like that. We could probably make a movie out of that. You know what I'm saying?
How can he do that?
How you say bhakta strain? No. But I'm saying it's just his aura. Just he admits non-spiritualness, and it just everything just goes. You know, it's like the guy walks in and everything shrivels up. You know, it's like, you know, it's just. You have to remember that screenwriters sit in a room with nothing to do. Yes, that's the whole point. That's an idea. You don't pay him $2 million to, you know, not come up with something weird. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is it's Krishna. You see it in connection with Krishna, that's then considered proper, and it's favorable for Krishna. Because you can see it in connection with Krishna, and then there's the idea of karma and jnana. Then it's devotion, but not pure devotion. I'm doing it to please Krishna. Like that, that's pure devotion. Even if I don't, I'm just looking at his food. The point is that I won't get that aspect of the pure devotion, but it still is progressive. It's devotional service. As long as I'm dealing in, you know, at least the recommended process, that they're sitting there and picking it up and putting it in their mouth and chewing it, and they're not. They're taking the prashad and, you know, throwing it around the room or at each other or something like that. That's another thing. You know? Because then you're considered. Otherwise, why would it be an aparad? If it's not Krishna, why is it an aparad? Right? Why is there offensive chanting? Because the name is Krishna. We take it, no. We think is that I'm creating the spiritualness of the holy name. I'm inattentive, so it's material. I'm sincere, therefore it's spiritual. No, the name is Krishna, directly, all the time. That's why it's an offense to be inattentive. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's our idea is that the guest comes into our house, we ignore them, and then they go away. But Krishna doesn't go away. Seeing that everything is him, that's not going to happen. So he's there. We don't pay attention. That's why it's offensive. Does that make sense?
Well, I still thought that if you chant more sincerely, then the holy name will descend in a spiritual form. And if you're not sincere, then it will just descend in like an alphabetical order.
But even you take that, according to Jiva Goswami, Narayanad Udbhuto Yam Varna Kramaha, the varnas, or the letters of the alphabet, are descending from Narayan. So what is there that's not the Lord? You know what I'm saying? What's not Krishna?
Us.
Oh, okay. But everything else is Krishna. It's just words different. You understand? Everything is Krishna. It's all going on by Krishna. There's nothing other than Krishna and his energies. It's just a matter of, do we see his energies connected, Krishna's creation connected to him, or we see the creation connected to us? That's the difference between spiritual consciousness and material. Right? So now you've heard the name in Sampradaya. The chit potency is there. Because everything is Krishna, but why do we call something spiritual and something not? Because it's all Brahman. So this concept that there's material is actually our consciousness. It's all Brahman. It's just a matter of, is it superior Brahman, like the spiritual world, or inferior Brahman, like the material world? Right? It's all Krishna. So we have to be able to, if we want to get into this analysis, we have to appreciate that we're not the ones that's creating it. We can take part in the process. We don't create bhakti. It's not because I'm sincere, therefore I create it. Because then where's the meaning of causeless mercy? Krishna descends because he wants to. Not because I chant. That's Jaimini. Jaimini is the thing, because I did it, I get the results. I was sincere, where's my results? But no, it's Krishna, because, you know. Yes.
To get rid of this misconception, we should practice a form of thinking that we're the seen and not the seers. We're being observed.
We're the seen, not the seers. It means we can take part in what's seen, but we're not the one that's seeing. Because the senses, why they work, then, according to the point, Brahman is prana. Prana makes everything function. That the senses work. So when we say life, we mean the senses. And the senses work because Krishna is that prana. Otherwise, the jiva, how do they have the potency to see everything? Does that make sense? You know, it's like there's an ant. How far can he see? Okay? Now, compared to us, the ant is really big. You know? We're 1/10,000 at the tip of the hair. And the ant may be like, you know, 8-10 hairs wide. So he could be 100,000 times bigger than us, and he can only see like a foot. So why is it we can see for, you know, a miles? That's because of Krishna's potency. So because the universal form sees, that's why the eyes come into effect, everything comes into effect, we can see. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls this drig drishya vichar. Understanding that who's the seer and who's the seen. You know. Hence the thing, I went to take darshan. No, it says you go there to be seen by Krishna. You know, how do we see Krishna? Right? He lets us see him. Okay?
Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premananda.